5:262. The three lights coming on indicate the return of Christ, and the lights are in my TV set. A circuit few people know about, nor are they interested. It is my set, my discovery, my excitement. Analysis. I have a way of telling when the parousia comes. One of my circuits, which is usually dormant, will light up. No one else has it. Power flowing through an electrical wiring circuit for the first time to light up lights is a good mechanical analog for first neural firing along a circuit of the brain. The rod and cone base resemble the rod of a nuclear reactor, atomic power, a good metaphor for the source of psychic energy. I'm going to know while he's still invisible. The others won't know until later, until he becomes visible. Interestingly, the dream placed me back with my high school friends, which sets it circa the time the voice explained the physics test to me. Perhaps that was when I discovered I had that unusual circuit in my head. It has been some time now since I developed any conflicting theories about my experience. Now it's an elaboration and a filling in, lapidary-wise, of detail. I have created a consistent explanation based on the experience and on research. I doubt if it will ever undergo any substantial modifications. It was an epiphany, that much is certain. An epiphany rather than a theophany. Throughout, the key concepts are Greek. The key terms are Greek. It is Greek Christianity evolving out of Plato. Any other language other than Greek would be out of place and make no sense. The Greek words I heard are the cornerstone, the key to the cipher, and even perhaps a gracious act toward me to assist me in unlocking the entire picture. There is only one important issue that I'm not sure of. Has Holy Wisdom, who visited me, been present during the past 2,000 years? Or was there an ellipsis, and now she, he, it has returned to man to assist him? The memory of the spirit contained nothing between the first century AD and World War I. That is a clue that an ellipsis did indeed occur. Also, there are no reports that I can find down through the ages of a Neoplatonistic total printout such as I got. The grand sum of Neoplatonistic mystery gnosis. Surely someone would have reported it before now. I have received the greatest gift which the universe can bestow. Today I was thinking that as a child I always wanted desperately, I yearned to hear the still small voice which Elijah heard, and now I have heard it. Also, I realized that if at the end of my search for God I learned that there is no God, then whatever I accomplished, experienced, or acquired would mean nothing. Conversely, this makes up for anything and everything and creates meaning of an ultimate order in my life. The 374 experience was vaster than empires. The exegesis, which uncovered the significance of the experience, is vaster yet, infinite in sum. Note. The term exegesis is most commonly used to describe a thorough interpretation of a biblical text, often based either on its historical context and language or on the revelation of its hidden meanings. Dick's use of the term implies that he considered his experiences themselves to be a form of scripture, a story to be revealed, explored, and understood. Moreover, his exploration of those experiences is itself a form of continuous revelation, with no clear line between experience and interpretation. But since the experience is ongoing, the exegesis itself becomes a key part of the narrative. In the exegesis, Dick is telling a story to himself and exploring the meaning of that story in ever-expanding circles of narrative and interpretation. GM. End note. What do you want out of life? I could ask. And answer, this. Part 2. November to December, 1976. Folder 23. 23:3. I remember in sleep the thought, I am wisdom. I would know of any other God. 23:4. Looking back on the theoleptic intercession of the vernal equinox of 1974, I see as most striking the inexhaustible truth of the Bible. As a kid, I loved to read the Bible. The people were always real to me. Oddly, it was 2 Kings that started it, Jezebel and King Ahab and Elijah. There it began for me, and there in 374 it came to fulfillment, a great loop of authentic other life woven into my own. 23:18. If the Savior is again here, I might see him, perhaps. But it is said, like lightning, I will be everywhere at once. Multiple incarnations, or rather reincarnation, and the Christian dead reborn within him? Again, I wonder, in us? Joining us? This indeed would be a revelation. The how of it. We shall all be collected together in him. I wait. I watch every day. My life is devoted to it. I have lost everything else. No matter. I won't lose him. 23:50. I think now of the dream I had of the great luminous moth descending to earth so beautifully. Perhaps this was the one vast soul which came down, rather than many separate souls, one entity which was segmented at impact, perhaps dispersing to take up eventual residence within many human minds. Dispersing this way, it lost contact with its own original identity, and at that point lapsed into forgetfulness, amnesia. From that moment on, it has traveled in luminous beauty, but without recognizing itself inwardly or outwardly, forward in time, as a collective, divided, invisible presence. It moves majestically, but no longer conscious of itself, or its origins, purpose here, or goal. Its primary goal is to remember, to again be self-aware with all the ramifications implied, whence from, whither going. It is a visitor here, and in remembering, has begun the process by which it can return. How can it return if it has forgotten that it ever existed anywhere but here? It keeps reincarnating in linear time, drawn back by its desire to perpetuate itself here. It imagines itself to be human, a human, many a humans. I think maybe all of the segmented parts must remember and hence rejoin, and will ascend as it descended, a unity intact again, totally aware of itself and its home. It has been many people at many times, but it is and must be a unity to exist properly. Perhaps as portions remember, they inform adventitiously, remaining still forgetful parts, summoning them one by one to their original state. What will be the effect in this world as the portions awaken and remember? Awakened, they are aware of Santa Sophia's approaching incarnation. They are heralds for it, preparing the way while still here, edifying the world with their light. I guess this is all fanciful. It leaves out the elements of testing, judgment, and reprieve, permission to go home. Is it possible that each part of the great soul must earn its reprieve before enlightenment, memory restored, occurs? It does not just happen to remember. Anamnesis is granted it as a reward, perhaps after centuries of trial. Did it sin originally and so fall? Was it cast out of the Pleroma? Was it one Lucifer, one bright star of many? And must it work its way back up gradually and arduously? Was it punished? Only by transforming itself could it, its pieces, receive its original state back. This was the fall, trials here, and eventual return. I am conscious of earning anamnesis, although I'm not sure when and how, perhaps what the pieces of the moth soul must lose and demonstrate loss of is the rebellious self-fulfillment in the sense of self-striving, against the crisis as a totality. It was one part thereof originally and tried to become a crisis in itself, which is to say, no longer part of the total universe organism, but pitted against it, a separate universe. In my final vision, I perceived the universe as one interacting entity, one creature with nothing separate from it or in any sense independent or outside. What we must learn is to subordinate ourselves to the will and mind of the crisis, to extinguish our individual striving, to transmit only what we receive, so to speak. Until we demonstrate spontaneous willingness and ability to do this, without ulterior motivation, we are here, cut off from the unitary vast organism. Crisis, in a sense not part of it inasmuch as we have forgotten it, can't experience it, and don't function as a station within it, integrated into it. The sublunar realm has been severed from the organism. Information from the noose doesn't reach it. Fallen though it may be, it is nonetheless immortal and divine, a beautiful but divided luminous being. 2360. Well, since I am an SF writer and known to be involved with unreality, no one, even my closest friends, are going to believe me. And yet I can get it printed everywhere with no risk of it being taken as anything but fantasy. It is bootless to screw around and think it is anyone but Christ who arranged my 374 experience. My problem is that I'm so delighted I just can't believe it. I have to keep arriving at the same conclusion by new and different ways. 2369. For exposing his world, James is after your ass. The authorities are his instruments in forcibly maintaining the system of delusions. Certainly, as Fitting et al. Say, my writings are subversive to this fake system, but he and the other Marxists shrink from the evolutionary development in my writing pointing in theological tones to the world lying beyond and behind, which is. Ubik is the turning point, leading to Maze of Death, and all the Platonism that Angus Taylor rightly sees in the corpus of my work. 2373. A new James dream. The improvident genius creator evolves us through many stages, meanwhile killing us, coercing us totally, injuring us. Finally, really through lack of foresight, he has no foresight. He abruptly, in his truly inspired search for new and more complex and evolved forms for us to take, causes us to become immortal gods. We all float up from the ground, high in the air, singing in unison like a great chorus of bees. He has caused us to escape him and the death of determinism and suffering, due to a combination of his genius, restless, ceaseless inventiveness, and search for new or better forms, and lack of foresight. It didn't occur to him that by his own efforts he would eventually, inevitably, push us to safety. We are filled with joy. The inference here seems to be that, on his own, James can and eventually will make us immortal and no longer bound by determinism, expressed by our release from gravity, hence safe from him. The other, better, true God, not found in this dream, need only wait, which assigns a higher value to James than I have been attributing to him. His role is great. Alone, he eventually compels us into immortality, the final stage and goal. My error lay in incorrectly downgrading him. I have been corrected. 23.111. It's amazing how much James' chaotic world resembles Empedocles' world of strife, and the Corpus Christi resembles the crisis formed by love. Which brings me back to Aphrodite, and the crisis possessing one more dimension than James' horizontal world. It is even possible that strife, plane, is love, sphere, seen in one less dimension, i.e., imperfectly perceived. only the sectioning perceived, the spherical crasis viewed, in a limited sense as section, and thus all changed? Add the missing dimension, and you go from the seeming world to the symmetrical real. This added dimension has something to do with time. The horizontal quality of strife may be linear time. The sphere is the plane perfected, and hence outside or above time. There is a mystery here, intersection at two points, Rome circa 70 AD and Fullerton circa 1974 AD. Time is round. 23.112. There is some vast relationship between my 374 experience and Ubik the novel. Could I but find it? E.g., when I saw Rome circa AD 70, I was at an incredibly low ebb of vitality. Heat, loss, death. But as in Ubik, i.e., Archer's Drugstore, both time periods and the objects therein existed simultaneously. In fact, neither could be said to be more real than the other, a sort of oscillation. And yet in Ubik, neither was real, both were illusory. Is this to say that if you can peel the layers of 1974 back, aside, and find AD 70, then the reality you are dealing with is no reality but is illusion? A mock-up, a stage set, which has been reused and reused, painted over again and again? Of course, nothing is sui generis new. Every object in the present is literally made from old atoms, formerly used in other, more ancient sets. Recycled, really. Like pulp magazine paper, not at one specific former time, though. Insight. As in Ubik, we must maintain the present by a joint focusing of effort and attention, forcing it to be stable and not regress. I regressed in 374, but back along an ontological orthogonal axis, not a personal axis, exactly like the objects in Ubik. I regressed, not to my 1928 childhood, but to former men or a former man. It's all there in Ubik, could I exegete. The 2,000-year inner and outer reversion which I experienced in 374 was not due to a concentrating of attention, but to an ebbing, a relaxing, a permitting, releasing. At the very least, I discovered where the past is now. It is in present-day objects, reality. Therefore, it can be totally retrieved. As to where the future is, if anywhere, I have no idea. 23.120. Two SF dreams ill-remembered. 1. Some people have come here from another planet, which had much greater gravity, so that being here was being able to fly. Literally, buzz about with joy like bees. 2. If you do something impossible that you would do, like leave the building through the ceiling rather than the door, you literally disappeared to everyone's view, friends, family, and jailers alike, since all here are programmed, held fast by the deterministic matrix. 23.127. The two dreams together show, 1. Coming here from a place worse than this, escaping from it to here, and then, 2. Escaping from here. In 1, here stands in relation to the heavier world as an afterlife, but then escape from this world is needed, an afterlife, so to speak, to a previous afterlife. What seems to be presented here is a series of stages, an evolution. We are not products of this world, but voyagers here. One thinks of Gnosticism at once. We have come here from another place, and will eventually find the unexpected orthogonal axis and ascend to the next. Ah, eventually we will chafe against the bonds, restrictions, determinism, limitations of this world too, and seek release, as we did before with the heavier world. Maybe this world is neither heaven nor hell to its natural inhabitants. It just is. Maybe to us it started out as a place of release, heaven, but gradually and inexorably becomes another prison in relation to the next, an iron prison, Rome. Then the black iron prison is wherever you are in relation to the freer next world, which fully at last answers my question as to where the vision of the black iron prison stands in relation to this world. The sense of this being so is an indication that one has reached the point of wanting to move on up.